Greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson, and you're on UrbanBuzzMag.com, and I have Ms. Tiffany on the line with me, and I'm super excited to finally interview a female Christian hip-hop artist. Am I correct about that? Are you hip-hop artist, female MC? You know, you guys have all kinds of names. I don't want to misconstrue.
Well, yes, Christian hip-hop artist is fine. But, you know, people call you what they see. Some people say gospel rapper. Somebody say she's a rapper. But Christian hip-hop artist, gospel rapper is what I usually go by and associate with. Yeah.
Okay, well, what's your favorite? Because I want you to be comfortable for...
You can say gospel rapper.
Gospel rapper. Right, because we can create a whole genre. You know what? That's what we could do.
Absolutely.
A gospel rapper. Okay, so listen, you have an album out. I Ain't Preaching to the Choir. I love that because I'm always saying sometimes as Christians, we're talking, but we're talking to other Christians and they kind of already know. I don't know if that's the vein you was in, but.
Yeah, okay. You're exactly right.
Okay, well, go ahead and explain.
Okay, great. So I wasn't always a gospel rapper, just, you know, first things first. I was a secular rapper, and I did that for pretty much throughout my teenage years and in my early young adulthood. And I was in a really bad car accident, suffered some pretty horrific injuries, internal injuries. And I had a brain injury, had a spinal cord injury, and, you know, doctors had given this, you know, just dismal prognosis that I was going to be in a persistent vegetative state. And, you know, I would have these limitations as far as reading, writing, and, you know, comprehending that my mom was basically going to have to take care of me, you know, for the rest of my life. And, you know, God is so good that he healed me. You
Amen.
Know, it was a miraculous healing. The doctors didn't operate on me.
Wow.
They just allowed me to lay there in a medically induced coma. And at the time, I was 20 years old, college student, and really still trying to find myself and, you know, build that relationship with God. And here I am facing, you know, this situation where, you know, God is the only person who I can hear, who I can talk to, who I can feel, who I know, you know, has not left me at this moment because I wasn't conscious, you know. And so I wasn't able to communicate physically with anyone. I wasn't able to say, hey, I'm still in here. None of that stuff. Although my physical body was at risk, my spirit was still alive. And during that time, God spoke to me, and he spoke some things to me, some mysteries. You know, he revealed some things to me about the next generation, about my family, and how he was going to use me to lead them out of a place. And he showed me this place. And I remember, you know, just how vivid the colors were. You know, it's just the goldest of golds and the greenest of greens and, you know, the bluest of blues. Like, I've never... On this earth, I have never saw, you know, colors that sharp before. And God showed me this place. And, you know, like I said, he spoke some things to me. I stopped writing secular music altogether after the car accident. But it took me 9 years from the year of the car accident, which happened on a Resurrection Sunday. It took me 9 whole years to really remember. It took my mind, my natural mind, to catch up to where I was in the spirit and to where God was.
Mm-hmm.
And so he reminded me one day as I sat in the parking lot at the Salvation Army and my son was in an after-school program and, you know, my grandmother had just passed and I was just distraught and in a place where, you know, I could only talk to God and God could only, you know, help fill that void that I felt in my heart and, you know, just in my soul. You know, I just felt like when she passed that I did too, you know.
Right.
And so here I am praying to God and praying up to this cloud and I'm saying, Lord, you know, what else do you want me to do with my life? Because my life has been one of service. I served my grandmother and, you know, her every need, you know, for many, many, many years, and as well as other family members. And here I am now, you know, I don't have to go and take her to the grocery stores and to the doctor appointments and the pharmacies and, you know, all these other places where sometimes she likes to shop and, you know, just go out and do different things. She's not there. And now I have all this free time on my hands. And I'm like, Lord, you know, I need for you to fill this space with something that will never leave me. I don't want anything that's temporary. I need something that will permanently fill this space. And he said, it's my spirit. It's my word. And I'm like, okay. And I said, well, what will you have me do, you know, with my life now? I've done everything that the world says or society says I should have done. At the time I was married, you know, kids, and I had a master's degree. You know, mm-hmm. even though doctors said I wouldn't be able to read again, I was the first person in my family to graduate from college and to go on and obtain a master's degree and do all these other things academically.
Right.
And, you know, I was working at the time, and I'm like, Lord, you know, there's got to be more to this. I don't want to live a routine life like this. You know, what would you have me do? And he said, you're going to rap again. And I was like, this is the devil. This has got to be the devil talking to me right now. I'm like, what are you saying, God? And he's like, no, this time, he said, you're gonna rap gospel. And I was like, what? And I said, well, maybe it is God. And I said, okay, well, I haven't been reading my Bible. I haven't been praying like I should. You know, uh-huh. I haven't been talking to you like I should. I don't think I know enough words to even write one verse of wow. gospel rap. So, and I had never heard of any of the gospel rappers or Christian hip-hop artists at that time. This was
right.
in 2013.
I
wasn't familiar with the genre at all.
Right.
So it was true revelation from God, true light from God on that day when he spoke to me. And I said, well, Lord, if this is something that you're calling me to and this is you, I need your help because, you know, I have it in my spirit that I want to do this. But I kept saying everything that, and, you know, the reasons why I didn't qualify. And Holy Spirit stopped me,
mm-hmm.
you know, in my speaking and said, you know, your heart is in the right place, but you're saying it the wrong way. Say it like this. And I said, okay, Lord, whatever you tell me to say, I will say it. Whatever you tell me to do, I will do it. Wherever you tell me to go, I will go.
Okay.
And from that moment, I could feel in my spirit just the download from heaven. Like, you know, I was so filled at that moment. I went to the store, got a notebook, a new pen, and I told my sons, don't doodle, don't draw in these books right here. God is going to do something. I said, God is going to do something special with this notebook and this pen. I'm not going to touch it myself until he tells me to.
Right.
And for 8 weeks, I put it in a place in my room, and I could prophetically see the words on the pages without me even lifting the pen. I saw this notebook filled with words from God.
Wow.
And every day I had that same vision. I would look at that notebook, and that's what I would see. For 8 whole weeks, I did not write anything. And then one day, the Holy Spirit stopped me in my tracks again and was like, if you don't write it now, it's never going to happen. All of the stuff that I ever shown you, I mean, I had dreams about award platforms and, you know, just this elevation.
Right.
It wasn't just about the awards. I've had plenty of nominations. I've won plenty of awards. And those are just like, you know, presents from God for me saying, okay, you're being rewarded for the work that you've done. But I don't esteem those things. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
I don't,
ma'am.
They don't. I mean, they're good to have.
Yes.
But that's not what. That wasn't my goal. That wasn't my focus. But these were things that God showed to me.
Right.
And I didn't know why at the time. Now it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, years later, it makes sense in hindsight. And so I decided one day I was talking to my husband and I looked over at him and there were some things going on in the ministry at that time. And I just said, oh, I ain't preaching to the choir because they already believe.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, go and write it down. I ran over to the notebook and I wrote, I ain't preaching to the choir because they already believe. Now, we were getting ready to go out, you know, to a restaurant. So I went back to the mirror to finish getting ready, you know, put on my makeup and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Then as I looked in the mirror and I looked into my own eyes, I had this experience with this flash, you know, in spirit across my eyes. And something had lifted, you know, off of the covering of my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back to the notebook and the Holy Spirit said, just take the notebook over to the dresser with you so you can finish. I had to stop getting ready. I sat on the end of my bed and I wrote, I am preaching to the choir in 15 minutes.
Wow.
And it goes like, I'll do a little bit of the chorus. I am preaching to the choir because they already believe. This ministry with no walls, I'm taking gospel to the street. Lord, open up their eyes so it's you that they can see. I'm standing in the spotlight, but it's Jesus they're receiving. And I couldn't believe it. It to me, it was so beautiful, and it was such a flow spiritually.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it just came out. And every day, I had to carry that notebook with me in the car. I had to carry it with me to work. I took it, you know, I was making notes in my phone. Like, he was speaking to me. And
right.
for a minute, I was like, I don't know where this is coming from. I got to go look up in the Bible and make sure these scriptures are in here because I didn't know that I had them in my heart like this.
Mm.
And they were for sure.
Wow. That's a good revelation.
It's a charge to the church.
Yeah.
Basically, and I'm sorry for cutting you off, but basically what I ain't preaching to the choir means, and you're right, it's a charge to the church to for people to come outside of the four walls to meet people where they are, to go into the hedges and the highways and the, you know, shelters or areas where people are homeless or, you know, wherever a person may be downtrodden, their spirits may be low. and they need to hear a word from God. They're not coming into the church. They're not in the building. But because we are the church, then we carry that word. We carry the glory of God. We have to go out and meet those people where they are and plant to compel them to come in. Right. If they should. Right. However, we need boots on the ground everywhere. You know, and I think COVID is a perfect example of, I ain't preaching to the choir, like, you know, shut down the church buildings, lock the doors. Now what do you do?
Exactly.
That word has to come outside of that building.
Exactly.
And that was 7 years ago. So for me, it was a completion and confirmation of God completing a thing.
Man, you're right about that. Mm-hmm. It is a new day for people to come up with a word in time and in season for those who need it. With this whole COVID situation, faith has to be applied, because you can get anxious about it and just spaz out. Oh my goodness, hey, you sneezing, you know, your allergies is kicking in, and next thing you know, you're like, oh my God, I got COVID, you know.
You think you got corona. We've all had those moments.
Right,
wheezing, am I breathing correctly, or somebody sneeze, or if I sneeze, oh my goodness, it's just... You forgot that we're made to sneeze, right?
Right, okay. Exactly. We can sneeze
and
cough.
We have to have faith in God.
Yeah, yeah. And so we need a reassurance that God is still God. He did not leave. COVID did not scare him. He's not afraid. And this is the time that you went to church all these years, sat in that seat, praised God, ran up and down, spoke in tongues. Now everything's shut down. What you got? What's in you? Because now is the time to show...
Right.
Show the God we serve, to be the examples. And so I'm super excited about you and the album. I ain't preaching to the choir, because listen, we got a job to do. So tell me about the performance I just saw.
You heard the Gulf Coast Gospel Music Awards. This is the fourth year that they've had it, and I made history about 2 years ago as the first female gospel rappers to win the gospel rap category.
Cool.
I won a couple of awards, actually, Kingdom Influence and, you know, a few others. But they called me and said, hey, you know, due to COVID, we're not going to have the show as usual.
Right.
And we're going to do, you know, a virtual airing, and it'll be on a couple of, you know, television stations and everything. And it'll be on social media, which you sent us over, you know, something that we might be able to use. We want to have you as one of our featured performers. And I was like, of course, you know.
Right.
And so... That's what you saw. It was actually the last song that I wrote on the I Ain't Preaching to the Choir EP, and it's called I'm Sold. And that was the name of the song that I performed. It's been very well received. Some people, I don't think, had heard I'm Sold before they saw this actual visual representation and presentation of it. So it's been a great, you know, great. It's been refreshing for me, first of all, because I haven't performed in months. So it was me in the church and the cameraman, and that was it. And there was no real audience there or anything like that. But it was just, you know, a great release. And I was happy to, you know, have some work and an expression to be able to put out in something for people to view and, you know, get the word in an unconventional way.
Right. One of the things I'm hearing while I'm interviewing you as a gospel rapper is hearing clearly you understand who you are and your assignment in Christ. How has it been in the industry part of it, you navigating and sharing your music? Has that been equally as you being focused and not getting entangled with some of the unfriendly parts of the music, quote unquote, industry?
Yeah. You know, not tooting my own horn, but I am a beautiful woman. So I have faced focusing on the music, though. Then we'll get into that other part. But focusing on the music, of course, I'm in Mississippi. I'm a woman in ministry within the Bible Belt. Sometimes, you know, a woman minister is not very well received, and especially in areas where tradition is very big and, you know, still very, you know, very popular. To be
right.
traditional in
right.
certain places, not as progressive as some.
Right.
You know, I love where I'm from, but you know, there are some things that have to happen in order to bring about change. And I feel like this gospel rap piece was one of the things that God used to really, you know, debunk some of the misperceptions about how God will make a move, you know,
yes.
in the church, or make a move in a certain time. and people think that they know him and they try to program him, and you just don't know which way he'll turn or who he will use to show you which way he's going. And so with me dealing with that and saying, now I'm going to do this gospel rap, and even though I said I ain't preaching to the choir still needs to hear this, you know, this representation of God or this manifestation of God.
Right.
And so now I'm saying I'm going into the church. I'm going into the church with the rap, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's something, when I first started out, it wasn't very well received in some places, of course, you know, because it was new and because of the sound of the beat and everything. While they could not deny the words that I was speaking,
exactly,
were not words of God, they didn't necessarily like the base of the song, you know, all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was in this apostolic church one time when I first performed, and there was one of the mothers of the church, and she was on the front row. And as I started rapping, she got up and she raised her hand, and, you know, she was speaking in tongues and, you know, praying and all that stuff and everything. And the harder she prayed, the harder I rapped. At the end of the event, she came up to me and she said, "That's all right, baby." She was like, you just keep on keeping on. You know, that's all right. And so I think I won her over.
Right.
You know, people tell me, you have a breaker good morning. You can break, you know, whatever's in the atmosphere and
stir
up some stuff. And for that very reason, they like for me to go up first, you know, all of the time, because God really does something. I can't feel it, but other people, you know, say that they can. But yeah, I faced that opposition starting out. I faced rejection as far as the presentation of the music and me, you know, being a woman doing this. And then when it comes down to on a higher level, as I started to progress and God started to elevate me and promote me and place me in these different, you know, areas and on these different platforms, like, you know, the Sellers and, you know, all these other places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did notice that there were some challenges. And as I continued to try and work on my music, you know, I would face challenges as a woman, you know, as a woman who is, you know, probably pleasing to the eyes, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, it would be difficult sometimes for me to have conversations, especially when primarily you have men who are the ones who are, you know, creators and helping to produce or helping to work on, you know, certain pieces that you need. And so, you know, they can't get past the glare in my eyes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I'm just like, I just need for you to make this beat. You
right.
know, I need you to make this part over here. That's not, you know, like, please, can we get the work done?
Oh,
and
my
so
goodness.
I found myself sometimes like going in a circle trying to find someone who was faithful enough to their own craft and their own gift that they would not allow their lust or whatever their intentions were to compromise the work that they could do and that we could do together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when I could find those relationships, you know, I was very thankful, you know, and,
right.
you know, it's some of the guys, you know, they just, you know, they just, I don't know, but yeah. So I've dealt with that before too. And finally, I just found the ones who were just willing to, okay, this is going to be a work thing. And, you know, this is what it is. And, you know, they respect me. You
right,
know what I'm saying?
Right.
And we just do the work. And I'm thankful for that because
yes.
it took a while
yeah.
to get past that part.
And, you know, that
even in gospel.
No, girl, I know what you're talking about. That's why I was laughing. I had to stop so we could hear you because, you know, it's the same thing here. Sometimes I want to interview people and, you know, well, interview some males and, you know, I'm like, dude, I'm not trying to talk to you. This is my job. I just want to interview you. You know, who's your contact or whatever? Bye. Boy, bye. Okay. Ain't nobody got time for that.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
We're just out here trying to do what we do.
Right. You know, I can't. Mm-hmm. That was good. I'm glad you shared that with us. One thing that I'm just really enjoying the transparency and your ability to just be so focused on your assignment and what you have been assigned to do. Let's talk about the Christmas project you're working on, and that's coming out. Christmas is almost here, and maybe they can mm-hmm. jump on your digital platform and cop that.
So the single that's being released now is a friend of mine. His name is Walter Ray Hudson. He's out of Detroit, Michigan, and it's a collaboration between him and Pastor Larry Austin, who's in Oakland, California. He's a street minister, gospel rapper. Of course, me. I'm there in It's a Christian hip-hop themed rendition of Come Let Us Adore Him. So I'm excited about it. We're on the cover looking like, you know, the three wise men and all of that. And I think people are going to like it. It's going to hit radio between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Of course, it's going to be on digital outlets and everything.
What's another one of your songs off of the album that you enjoy?
And there's a song called I'm a Prophet. And then there's one called Pour It Out. Pour It Out is based on Joel 2:28, when God says to pour out his spirit on all flesh.
Right.
It's really like a dance track, kind of.
Okay.
But it's very motivating and powerful, very detailed. I like to be a little commercialized in a way and include things that bring about a nostalgic feeling. Like I mentioned What's Happening and Rerun, you know, in some of the verses. And mm-hmm. if you're familiar with that show or if you remember it.
Yes.
I mentioned things like that, you know, something old, something new, so that it can keep people engaged and reach people from across, you know, different age groups and different listeners and to tap into that flavor that that they may be interested in. And I just want to try to, not to appease people and please mm-hmm. people, mm-hmm. but just to try to reach them where they are. So if I got to mention something that aired in the 80s and the 90s and then,
right.
you know, my grandmother's friends to listen to it,
mm-hmm.
you know, then that's just how God uses it. So I like Pour It Out. I love I'm a Prophet. I'm a Prophet really talks about apostolic prophets being sent out, you know, having a word and how God will use you to influence your city, influence your area and beyond, you know, however mm-hmm. he wants to use it. So I really enjoy those. I also have a single out called Go Hard. Now, some people listen to it and they say, that's my gospel rap.
Yeah.
And I was like, does it have the name Jesus in it? You got to say Jesus? How many times did I say Jesus? Jesus is the gospel, right? It's in there. But I wrote Go Hard and I released it as a single for this, Nigeria, because after I received, I was the first ever solo female rapper to receive an official Stella Award nomination. And it happened, you know, at the 34th Annual Stella Awards in 2019. And I was the first, you know, female rapper to receive that nomination. And yeah, I think that because I just really stepped into the game and I kind of rose to the top, you know, kind of quickly, but mm-hmm. was still under the radar. Many
right.
people didn't know me until they saw me then.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I heard there was some chatter, you know, about, you know, who is this and where she come from? And, you know, we've been trying to do this for a while. And how did she, you know, get to this point? And, you know, so it was some speculation and, you know, people just had questions. And Go Hard is basically me answering the question and saying that, you know, no matter what naysayers have to say or doubters or people who feel like you don't deserve, you know, where God has elevated you to. It's just basically saying, I'm going to go hard and keep going and keep rising, you know, going on to the next level, going from glory to glory.
Mm.
And, you know, nobody, if I showed you all, and I have a copy of my itinerary from 2013 up until this moment, I don't even know how I got it all done.
Right.
I really don't.
Right.
So I've done a lot of planning, you know, and a lot of service, and God decided to honor it publicly. The
right.
things that people didn't see and didn't know about, he decided to honor me publicly, and he did it in his own way.
Right.
You know, but it was because I was faithful to what he gave to me. I was faithful in music. He then sent me over into modeling and sent me into acting. I've been on Queen Sugar, and I was featured on Empire
what?
Twice. You know, I've done some things.
Come on, drop that! Drop that! Say it! Say it! Say it!
Yes,
love
Lord.
It. Love it. Love it. Listen, we don't never have to prove ourselves to nobody. Favor ain't fair. Now, y'all just get on over it. Get on over it. Now that you're, you know, well-versed in the Christian hip-hop community, you've seen, you've done, mm-hmm. you're building your roster, and you're making music, you're acting, you're doing voiceovers, you're doing everything you're supposed to be doing. What else is it that you would like to do?
Well, I'm a published author as well. I've written two children's books so far. I'd like to pen some books, you know, geared towards spirituality, women empowerment, You know, so I'm working on some of that right now.
Okay.
Really, honestly, I come from a family of ministers who I don't know, you know, for reasons I don't care to, you know, go so deep into the history of that. But, you know, I know of them and they know of me and everything. We are family members. We're related. And they're, you know, they're all like deacons and pastors and, you know, evangelists and prophets and all that stuff and everything. You know, I didn't grow up around them, but it's just amazing that, you know, that runs in my bloodline. You know what I mean? I went through an experience out of just a life experience, and God set me on that same path. So what's in you, you know, has to come out, how God created you and formed you. Like, he makes you a part of a family, a part of a tribe for a reason.
Right.
You have, like, you know, not only do you have the same blood and DNA, but you have some of the same anointing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that same flow. Your life, they're kindred. They're your people. They're your kinfolk. You're like them. So whether you're in the same place with them or not, 9 times out of 10, you probably have some of the same, you know, interests, some of the same things that you do. That, you know, and are interested in, like they are.
Right.
And I just so happened to, you know, get into ministry. I told God, I said, if I could preach like I rap, then I know why the enemy wanted to kill me all those years ago, you know, trying to take me out all those years ago.
Yeah.
And I know there's a word on the inside. It just so happens that I always thought the music was the vehicle that God was using to really take me where he wanted me to go in ministry. But it was never really about the music, but because there was a gift and that was a comfortable spot for me, God allowed me to use it, you know, to help deliver me out of a place and go back and deliver other people who were in that same place that I used to be in and help bring them out. But at the same time, he was using that to train me, to give me practice, to give me experience, you know. So I learned, you know, things about the church and about order and programs and all these different things that I've learned by going and, you know, being a part of an itinerary and all of this stuff, traveling, going around and everything came my way, really, of the gospel rap.
Right.
But I feel that there is a preacher on the inside. And otherwise, why would he be telling me I ain't preaching to the choir? Well, in order to be not preaching to the choir, you're preaching to somebody. You must be a preacher. But I hold back, Nigeria. I hold up on it. I'll release words to people. You know, I get on my soapbox every now and then. But I feel that there is a greater depth on the inside that is bubbling up and will spring up one day. And I believe that, you know, that there's a very powerful preacher on the inside of me.
Girl.
So that would be one of the desirables that maybe will happen in the near future.
No, I totally agree with you. I hear her, you know, because I could feel the anointing. I hear the oil and the way you even respond, you know, I believe it. I believe he's preparing you. And I do believe that there's a course of suffering and trial that we do have to go through, because when you're anointed like this, you know, you can't be moved and swayed by the cunning craftiness of men. And so God definitely has to put you through his own olive press. Oh my God. It's coming. It's coming.
You're in there.
I know. Hold on. I'm holding on.
Get that thing out. Get it out.
Yeah. And so, man, you know, this like Sunday. This like Sunday right now.
Thank you. Thank you, God.
I'm telling you. I'm like, oh, it's too much. It's a lot. And I'm going to play this whole interview. So, y'all get ready. Y'all get ready to get it all.
Right now.
So, okay, let's stay. So you wrote the 2 children books already? They're available?
Oh, yes, they are.
Yeah, because, you know, we're in COVID and these parents need something. So let's talk about, tell us a little bit about these children books. Parents need some help.
That's right. The babies need some books to read.
Right.
We need physical books and not just e-books. You know, looking at that screen and computer and tablet all day long can be a strain on the eyes. And what better, you know, thing or gift to give right now is something that they can put in their hands. It's entitled Hippos Downtown. And it's about some of the attractions here in Mississippi and downtown Jackson, you know, some historical figures there. It's really two books. It's for ages 3 through 8.
Okay.
I've had people get it for their infant children and read it to them, you know, or to their children that are smaller than that. And then my second publication was actually with my daughter when she was 5 years old. She's 6 now. So we published it last year. It's called My Dolly and Me. And on the front page, you'll see, once you open the book, one of the cover pages, you'll see me handing a doll to her. And really, though, it was me passing down and giving her that mantle as an author, you know, for to be a writer. At least, it, you know, nobody would look at that and see that.
But that's really what it means for me.
She's already talking about her next titles and saying, hey, you know, comes up with this creative thing. She's in the arts program right now. She's in first grade and very smart, very articulate, very well spoken. And I'm excited about her future. Her name is Mariah McGee. And those books are available on Amazon. .com and a few other places, Barnes and Noble. Right. There, it's all over.
What was you doing on Queen Sugar?
Queen Sugar was my very first experience with being on the set of a television production.
Okay.
And, you know, then it was to be an Oprah Winfrey Network production. I mean, my mind was blown.
Right.
I was actually an extra. That was my first time being booked for any casting. And what happened was I was on a photo shoot downtown Jackson, Mississippi. And the photographer was like, you know, you have some nice features. I know you've been doing your music. You've been doing your modeling and everything. And I think you have some really nice features, though. Have you ever thought about acting? Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, when I was younger, I always thought that I would have to move to L.A. You know, I always knew that I would be in Hollywood one day. And he was like, no, you don't have to do that. You know, stuff going on in many places. I'm going to send you some instructions. He was like, follow them and let's see what happens. So I did exactly what he told me to do. And about 2 hours after I submitted, I got a phone call from the casting agency to be on set the next morning for Queen Sugar. And so, you know, I was one of the patrons that was in the restaurant. However, it was a great experience because I had a chance to watch all of the, you know, I was in the scenes where there were main actors and main characters there. Mm-hmm. I got a chance to watch them and study them. And I listened to the directors and the producers and the things that they said and the things that they did. And I mean, we'd be out there for like 12 or 14 hours at a time, you know, one scene.
Right.
And so I picked up on a lot, you know, while I was there. And obviously I did a great job. They called me back the next week and asked me to come back again. And, you know, so I was featured. I did get some camera time there. That was pretty much my experience with that. But it really did open the door. It opened my eyes to a lot. And a few months after that, this was at the time when I just released a video for I Am Christian to the Choir. I got a call from a staff member from the Dr. Bobby Jones show, and they saw the video, and they were like, you know, we've never had a gospel rapper on the show before. We've never had a female gospel rapper on the show before. How would you like to be the first one, you know? And I decided, I'll do it. You know, so I went to Nashville, had a very good time there, and, you know, a few weeks after that, I got a call from the owner of a casting agency in Chicago. And she's like, the directors of Empire saw your photos, and they want you to send just some regular pictures of yourself with no makeup or anything like that, and let's just see what happens. And so I did what she told me to do, and about 2 days later, I got an email saying that I'd been booked, but they called and said that instead of choosing me for what I submitted for, which was just another extra position, you know, upscale tea room patron, they were like, no, we want you to have a core featured role. We want you to play one of the children's moms.
Wow.
And so, you know, I've got some really good camera time there. And let me just share with you about that. I have to tell this testimony. I don't want to be long-winded. But,
no, come on. Come on. This is mine. We can talk all day.
Yes, ma'am. But in 2015, when Empire first came out, it was season one, I wasn't even watching the show. I'm not a big, you know, TV watcher. My mom called me and she was like, it's this new show, it's on Fox, it's starring Terrence Howard and Taraji P. Henson, and I think that, you know, you should watch it because it's about music and you may learn some things to help out with your career. Now, this is 2015. I'm just 2 years into the gospel rap at that time.
Right.
She's like, yeah, it might help you out with your career and everything. I'm like, okay. So, episode came on. I did not watch it, I'll be honest. She called back the next week when the new episode came on. She asked me, did you watch Empire? I was like, no, I haven't watched it yet. I'm going to watch it. After about 3 weeks of her calling me every time a new episode came, I was finally one weekend. I said, Lord, have mercy. Let me watch this show. I'm a binge watch. I'll go on demand and I'll watch the first couple of episodes just to see what it's about. Because if I watch the first one, I'm like, okay, a little interesting. I go to the second one, third one. By the time the third one, I was sold on the storyline. I called her on the phone. I was like, Mom, I love this show. I said, I'm going to be on there one day. And she was like, well, if you believe, you can. I said, no, you don't understand. I said, I saw myself on the stage with Taraji and with Terrence.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, well, God can do the impossible.
That's right.
Okay, so that was 2015, season one. I got that phone call in 2017 during season four, okay?
Mm.
I called my mom on the phone, and I was like, Mom, you're not going to believe it. And she's like, what? And I said, I got booked for Empire. And she was floored. Like, we started praising everything. And it was just a great experience. You know, it really was. The first episode that I was in was not an episode that had Terrence or Taraji in it. Okay? Mm-hmm. So you would think a person of little faith would probably say, okay, well, maybe what God showed me was just, you know, me getting to the show. But I didn't get a chance to see Terrence and Taraji. So that was the first episode that I was in. They called me back a few months later and said, we need you to come back. And so when I went back the second time, and I was standing on the stage, I kid you not, before we got started with filming and everything, Justin Smollett was directing this particular episode. He came up to me, spoke to me, shook my hand and everything. Mm-hmm. They had done research and found out who I was.
Wow.
Terrence came up to me, he spoke with me, and he, you know, said, you know, nice to have you, whatever, welcome, 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 and everything. Taraji was there, and she waved and spoke and everything. And it was crazy because what I saw, what happened, you know what I mean?
Yes.
I went back and told my mom, was like, this time I saw them, this time I was on the stage with them, just like I saw in my original season, and it really truly happened, so I really believe.
Man. How are you dealing with COVID? Are you just writing now and you know, preparing for more music? I know you said you're working on another book project. Has this been a time where you're even getting closer with the Lord on your assignment?
Absolutely. This has been a time for me to really get some rest, to slow down. Mm-hmm. It was like I was doing a lot, so everything was going and everything was operating and moving. And so for God to put everything on pause, it was a breath of fresh air. Like we talked about in the beginning, you just have to have faith in God and trust and believe that, you know, he's going to take care of you, he's going to take care of yours, and that as long as you try and do your best, you know, God will honor that as well. And he will continue to give you grace and favor, you know, in different places. So during COVID, I worked a lot on doing a lot of radio interviews. I actually had a few songs to hit the charts. So that was pretty much a lot of my work, was really getting the word out and continuing to promote not only the music, the ministry, the word and everything. And, you know, so a lot of people will probably like, you know, I can't get out, I can't perform, I can't do any events and stuff like that, so I may as well not do nothing. But there was so much that you could do. You could have wrote that book, you could have wrote those songs, you could have, you know, we had so much time on our hands to get some things done. So I've just been creating, you know, I've written a couple of songs. I have a project that I'm working on right now. Doesn't have a name for it yet, but I presume that it will release in 2021, you know, so... Mm-hmm. Christmas project, like you said, is coming out. The thing was coming out with Walter Ray and with Pastor Larry Austin. And that's pretty much all that I've been doing. It's just creating, spending time with family and just taking a breather, you know?
Yeah. One thing I noticed about most creators, this has been like heaven. This is like what I get to really delve in to what I want to do and just, you know, birth it out. So yeah. And I think it's a delightful time for believers. Now tell me, you know, you mentioned Jackson, Mississippi. What is the hip hop climate in Mississippi, both secular and Christian? Or is there any?
You know, there are some hip hop artists and rappers here who are doing very well. You have Big Crit, who is I think he's stationed out of Georgia or something right now or whatever, but he is very, very popular, very well known. Of course, everybody knows David Banner from Mississippi. So a lot of times, you know, and nothing wrong with it at all. I'm not saying that, because I think that they still are true to, you know, to their roots and, you know, to the people and the community here. But a lot of the famous rappers, some of the famous rappers are from Mississippi or have family in Mississippi. You have Snoop Dogg, who came out of, you know, the McCollum area, Magnolia, Mississippi. He still has family here, but a lot of people don't know that. They probably think that he's originally from California, but he's actually from Mississippi. You got Brandy and Ray J, who are actually from Mississippi, you know. Like I said, David Banner, you got Big Crit, and then there's a few others who have went on to do some great things. And yeah, but the climate here is pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Christian hip hop is not as big as it is, or, you know, widespread as it is in other places, like along the East Coast. However, it is on the rise, and you know, people know about it and have discovered it and have, you know, started to give their own interpretations to it. So that's pretty cool.
Great. Well, Miss Tiffany, thank you so much for coming through. I greatly appreciate it. As we say, once a key player, always a key player. So as you continue to grow and expand, please know it will be my honor to be one of your media outlets.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed you.
How can people link up with you?
You can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, at Official Miss Tiffany. It's spelled OfficialMissTiffany. And I have a website, www.misstiffany.com, which you can, social media links are there as well.
All right. I appreciate you.